Would you like to help a college or seminary student attend the Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference? You can purchase a conference scholarship for a contribution of $120 to Issues, Etc. You can donate online at issuesetc.org/scholarship, issuesetc.org/scholarship, or you can make your $120 check payable to Issues, Etc. Write scholarship in the memo line and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We often discuss marriage as a vocation, as actually a complex of vocations. It usually involves husband and father and wife and mother. And then, of course, along with that are other attendant vocations that go along with it. But what about singleness as a vocation? Now, we have talked about being single as a calling from God. It may be permanent. It may be temporary. But what has been missing from a lot of Christian conversation dealing with the calling of being single, not married through your adult life? Welcome back to Issues, Etc. We're going to be answering that question as we discuss the vocation of singleness. Joining us on this Tuesday afternoon to do so, Kelly Schumacher. She's a single woman and founder of Agnus Dei Liturgical Arts based in St. Louis. Kelly, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Hi, thanks. It's great to be here.
What do you think has been missing often from a Christian conversation about singleness?
Sure. I feel like in the Lutheran Church and even outside in the world, there's a great amount of, I don't know if it's intentional, but there's a great amount of pressure to find someone to settle down and to raise a family, which is a good gift. However, if you're not given that gift, it can make you feel really awful. And I think what's missing is recognizing that God gives a gift to married people that they don't make happen. It's totally God's gift. But that God's gift is also given to single people. And those who are single who maybe haven't had, haven't found someone yet, recognizing that Christ is their all in all. Christ is the bridegroom of his bride, the church. And this can be a great source of comfort, knowing that instead of looking into this life and waiting for someone to complete them, they're constantly being challenged to look forward to the resurrection and Christ's second coming and waiting for that one who will free us from sin, ultimately free us from death, and welcome us into the marriage feast of the Lamb that has no end.
It sounds like what you're saying is what's often missing while extolling the great gift and virtue of marriage, for those who are single, we leave out that very important biblical idea of the church and Christians as members of the church as the bride of Christ.
Yes, very much so.
You talked about singleness as a gift. We're going to talk about it as a vocation, but discuss that a little bit more, if you would. The idea of singleness as a gift.
Well, I mean, I could speak from personal experience. I didn't always think it was a gift. I fought God long and hard on it. But what I've realized is through all these years of being single, God was giving me time and education and ministry instead. And I honestly wouldn't trade that for anything at this point. And it's a gift because it gave me time to grow in his word. It gave me time to develop Agnus Dei liturgical arts, whereas if he had given me a person to settle down with earlier, I definitely would have gotten married and started raising a family, but that's not what he did. And I was given this gift of being able to make art for the church. And I feel like if we talked to singles and said that, don't worry, God totally can use you. It's just going to look very different than how he's using a person that's married. And just as singles being open to wherever he leads and however God will use them, it's a wonderful gift. It's an adventure. It doesn't follow a formula, but it is a blessing. And just that time to be totally dedicated to the Lord and not have to worry about all these other responsibilities can be a really great source of blessing for single people.
That is precisely what St. Paul talks about when he talks about those who are married and those who are not. He speaks of those who are married as having, not in a derogatory way, but having lots of worries of this life and kind of a split attention. Whereas those who are single, I think the term you just used, to be wholly dedicated to to the service of Christ and his church.
Absolutely. And the freedom, and not saying that people who have marriage and children are not free, but there's a freedom as a single person that you can go and do more at the last minute, and it's less of a formula. You are able to have a lot more flexibility within what you're doing because you're not worrying that, oh my goodness, that my baby needs this or this. That someone says, hey, can you help out here? And you say, okay, sure, let's go, without worry.
Talk about how being single has shaped you as an artist.
Wow, that's a loaded question. Well, I think that I wanted to get married and find someone since I was about 3 years old, and that hasn't happened yet. So I spent a lot of just my whole life, you know, hoping and wishing and wondering and praying. And then when I was about, and I was always very good at art. I mean, I was very much of a dreamer. And then when I was 18, I was really struggling with being single when it felt like everyone around me was dating and I was just me. And I remember I wrote this book, and I still haven't, you know, done anything with it yet, but it's called The Perfect Prince. And in that, there's this princess that's going through life, and she just keeps asking God to send her someone. But in the meantime, she is continually asking God to shape her into who he wants her to be. And through this whole book, she learns the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, and God is continually working that in her. And she thinks in her mind, oh, God's going to work all these things in me, and he'll still give me someone. But at the end of the story, she realizes that the perfect prince is Christ himself. And I feel like that really shaped who I was before I even went into art for the church. That was just something I continually remembered, is Christ as the prince, Christ as the bridegroom. And then I went to graduate school and, you know, kept growing in the Word, kept growing as an artist. And I would say I definitely felt a very clear call from God at that point that what I was supposed to do was work on art and incorporating our theology and the scriptures and music, but then use the visual art talents that he'd given me to make art for the church. And, you know, even though I wanted to do that, I still really struggled, but it's kind of beautiful looking back and still growing and not knowing where God is going to lead me, realizing that you see Christ as your bridegroom and as the bridegroom of the whole church, and also trying to visually represent that gift that he's given to all of us, and then point people to the second coming. So that's how it's shaped me as an artist.
It almost sounds as though it has been an artistic inspiration, if I can use that word. Is that
yes,
accurate?
Yes, absolutely. It's a theme that when I started doing religious art, I actually shied away from Christ is the bridegroom of his bride, the church. I thought people would think I was a little weird, and I didn't really do it. But now, just baby steps in children's books, in paintings, I've started to really not just explore that concept theologically, but also artistically. And as I've walked forward in those areas, not everyone understands it, but the people that do, you know, have lost their husband, or if they are struggling with being single, or if they're in a tough marriage, seeing Christ as their bridegroom, who they're ultimately waiting for, is a great source of comfort.
Then what kind of art have you produced? How would you describe it?
Oh, wow. I've produced liturgical art, which is art for churches, meaning altarpieces, paintings. I would love to get into doing actual church commissions. I've also done one children's book called The Creation Fall and the Promise. And in that, it's showing the imagery of Adam and Eve and God creating all of creation, almost like he's preparing a wedding for Adam and Eve, but also seeing that as a type and a shadow of the most perfect marriage that is taking place between Christ and his bride, the church, and Christ's salvific work on the cross. And this is even highlighted in Christian Liberty by Martin Luther, that idea of the blessed exchange and that relationship. So those are I've produced some images of Christ and the bride, and she's either hidden or revealed, but very much showing that when Christ is going through all of his suffering and through his passion, that he is doing it with us in mind. And there's a very clear purpose. It's so that we would be reconciled to himself, and representing that mystical union between Christ and his church.
Seems there's a lot you could do artistically with all the images that surround that biblical idea of Christ and his church. There's a lot of different directions you could go.
Absolutely. Yeah, because you're looking at both Adam and Eve as shadows of what is to be. You are looking at Christ and his work on the cross, but you can also do the second coming and illustrating portions of Revelation that say, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and he will wipe every tear from their eyes. You can look at this theme in Hosea and Gomer, and seeing, and I love the idea of Hosea and Gomer, and also looking at the prostitute who's anointing Christ's feet. It's so much of the same story that's repeated. And also looking in the heart of the scriptures, the center, which is Song of Song, which illustrates kind of this very perfect relationship between the Shulamite and Solomon, and also seeing that is a type for what our new life in Christ is meant to be like, that joy, that ultimate completion, that fulfillment, the restoration of Eden, but even greater than Eden was.
With all of that said, talk about the vocation of singleness as, not only, you said earlier, a gift, but it is also a cross and a burden. How so?
Absolutely. I still, when I go to church on Sundays, there are days where I go home and just cry. I'm crying thinking about it now. And you see these families, and you just wonder, what is that like? And sometimes you sit there and you're by yourself, and you just wonder, okay, what's wrong with me? But also, at those times, God is so faithful to bring alongside another person to comfort you. And even his word and his Holy Spirit remind me that, you know, it doesn't matter. Christ has redeemed you. Christ has redeemed them, and they're broken as well. I mean, it may not be as obvious to me that other people that have marriage and children, that they're not struggling, but everybody has their own pain. But what's more important than looking at marriage versus singleness is recognizing that Christ is our comforter in whatever cross or pain that we're bearing. And also that he's ultimately going to be the one that fulfills us and loves us and gives us his word and his spirit. And that even though they've been given marriage and children, that's not what's going to be there in the second coming. Those relationships won't be the same, and that we're all ultimately waiting for Christ when he returns on the last day.
It sounds to me like you have come to grips, sometimes painful grips, with singleness. Have you said, I'm single for life, or have you ruled out marriage?
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, wherever God wants me to be is where I am. And if that's a gift he wants to give me, that would be amazing and wonderful, and I would love that. But if he wants me to be single, too, that's also it. And even people who are married, they may get married later. Some people, they may be married young, but then their husband dies and they don't remarry. Yeah, I mean, I'm not pinning down anything on what God can and cannot do at this point. It's just that this is where I am now. And finding joy and contentment but absolutely joy, and looking at the season I'm in and saying, okay, God, I'm just going to be as happy as I can with what you've given me, and my happiness will come from you. And letting that be what's important, and that contentment in all circumstances, because even people who are married, it's not always perfect either. But I will say I'm definitely very happy with where I'm at. But I'm also, if he decides to just drop that person into my life, you know, I'm also more than thrilled for that as well.
couple final questions here. You talk about how at the end of Scripture, we are told in the book of Revelation, anticipating Christ's return and hearing his promise to return, that the Spirit and the bride say, "Come, Lord Jesus." Why is that important?
Ah, it's a beautiful invitation. Well, it even shows the unity. Is Christ tells us to come. You know, it says, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest." And then the church echoes that word when she says, "Come." And, you know, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, God's Word, reminds us, come. And the church's call, she has both a heavenly call and an earthly call. Her call to heaven is to be with Christ, the bridegroom, forever. But she also here has an earthly call. And her call is to invite people to that marriage feast of the Lamb that has no end. And it's God's Word that's speaking through the bride. But as she dwells in the love of the groom, his word is just going to flow out through her. And we want as many people, you know, into that feast as possible. And God does that. But it's not being afraid. It's that that tool of evangelism. And it's the church's work on earth is to bring as many people in as possible with the truth and with salvation.
Finally, then, if you would, how has Agnus Dei Liturgical Arts been getting out this theme of the church as the bride of Christ for both those who have the vocation of singleness and those who are married?
Yes, absolutely. Well, I've done paintings on it. I've been visiting different churches. This is kind of a new thing. I've been visiting different churches and talking about this theme in my artwork, and I go through all the way through Genesis, through the Second Coming, and I try to explain to them how there's this big biblical timeline that we have, and that Christ's redeeming work, but also looking at it is, how is this theme of Christ as the bridegroom, how does this show up all throughout the Scriptures? And I like to almost use the narrative structure of a fairy tale to explain that to people is, you know, you have Snow White in the beginning. She eats the fruit that she's not supposed to eat, which is, you know, is the poisoned apple, which is kind of similar to the idea where Satan says, eat this fruit and then we die. But then the prince ultimately gives her the kiss of life to wake Snow White up. But while Christ gives us his word and his sacraments to wake us up from death into new life. And then the princess walks into the new kingdom, and that we as the church, having received the salvation of our souls, are walking into the heavenly kingdom that we're one day waiting for. And, you know, using that, I'm active on social media. I do YouTube videos. I teach children in addition to painting and drawing and doing children's books. So it's all Christ and his word and his redeeming work that's coming out. But these are the different means that are being used through Agnus Dei to share his good news.
Folks, you can find out more about Agnus Dei Liturgical Arts at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Kelly Schumacher is a single woman and founder of Agnus Dei Liturgical Arts based in St. Louis. Kelly, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you so much, Todd.
It's part three of our series on congregational membership. It is more than pray, pay, and obey. We'll talk about those with Pastor Peter Speckard right after this.
Do you find yourself fixing the theology on store-bought greeting cards when you give them to friends and family? Put away that Sharpie. Edgruesome.com has greeting cards, art, jewelry, certificates, church banners, housewares, and all sorts of fantastic gifts that proclaim Christ crucified for us. Whether you're a value shopper or a collector, you'll find something at Edgruesome.com. That's ADCRUCEM.com.
Trinity Lutheran Church in Vilonia, Indiana, is a mighty fortress that stands as a bulwark against the attacks of the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh. We are located in Jackson County, about 2 miles south of historic Fort Vilonia on State Road 135. Join us every Lord's Day for Sunday school and Bible class at 8:30 and divine service at 9:30. Come and receive the gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation from God's Valiant One, Jesus Christ, who has conquered death and holds the field forever.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to melhs.org and click on the giving page, or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Ever attended an Issues Etc. conference or any number of events that take place across the Synod and wondered why more people from your congregation aren't there? Then check out the special seminar package the CLCC is offering for the 500th anniversary. All you need so your circuit can prepare, promote, and present a seminar that will appeal to all the members of your congregation, provided for free by the CLCC. Just go to theclcc.org, theclcc.org, and click on the blue box, or check us out on Facebook.